Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't
know. I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to the Geek Legacy 2017 postmortem, brought to you in 2018. David here with the hostess with the mostest that's been around all year, yakking about movies and TV and whatnot. Randy and Justin, how you doing, Justin?
I am fabulous. Happy New Year, Dave and Randy.
Happy New Year. Randy, how you doing?
I'm quite lovely. Happy New Year to you, fine gentlemen.
Awesome, awesome. 2017 is in the books, and it was a mixed bag. You know, a lot of great movies came out, a lot of movies that weren't so great came out. We're going to kind of talk about a couple of those. But overall, Justin, was 2017 a good year for the world of geek?
I think so. As I was trying to come up with a list, I was like, oh, I like that movie. Oh, I like that movie. Oh, I like that movie. So I had a hard time coming up with this list and narrowing it down.
Nice. What do you think, Randy? Was this a good geek year? Do you have a good geek time?
Oh, this was a fantastic geek year. I had a lot of fun in the movies, even though you mostly heard me complain this year, I think. Believe it or not, I actually had a good time.
Oh. It's a shame that us geeks bitched about every fucking thing and we didn't appreciate anything that came out this year, but we'll get to that later.
Well, I think a lot of that is just, it's fun.
It's fun to complain.
It's fun to complain and to poke fun at ourselves. And even though we do complain about things, even the Star Wars, it's still a fun experience regardless.
I like it. All right.
Like, even though I hate Kylo Ren more than anything,
the worst,
I still enjoy the scenes that he's in the motion picture show.
Yeah, you're more into like two-dimensional characters that just don't have any depth.
Yeah.
Like Wonder Woman.
That's it. Hey, she's got the bracers and she blocks bullets.
Oh man, it didn't hold up on the rewatch like I hoped it would.
And she's
anyways,
fast.
She is a fast lady. Take that, whatever meaning you want. Well, let's start off with the big ones. You know, movies are great, and we all love movies. And so each of us picked our three favorite movies of 2017. And I don't know, do you guys want to just go all three of your lists? Do you want to go bang, bang, have each one do one, each one do two, each one do three kind of thing? Round robin style?
What are the options?
Here's what we're going to do, Justin. You're
bang,
gonna tell
bang,
me-
bang.
Mine aren't in any particular order. I just put my three favorite of the year. And so, Justin, why don't you give us one of the movies on your list?
Okay, I can do that. It. I'll start with right out of a cannon. It was one of my favorite movies of this year. Fantastic. Loved every second of it. It was long, but you know what? I didn't care because I didn't want it to end. Boom.
You're not alone. A lot of people loved that It. I wouldn't know. Too scary for me because I'm a big, giant P-word.
Yeah, and, you are. one.
Do you have any concern for the sequel? You know, now that the first one was so big that they may try to monkey with the formula, or do you think it's in good hands and they're just going to do us right?
So I think that the follow-up is in good hands, but I am worried that due to such commercial success and high praise, that they might go a little crazy and we might get some sort of origin story and then maybe like a It in Space kind of movie, and they might go a little crazy. So I'm hoping it doesn't come to that. I'm hoping that we don't get too much of a good thing. But as it stands right now, I'm very excited.
Nice. And it's got a crazy like mythology behind it.
I know, and I don't want to explore it.
Right, where Pennywise is like the evil and the good is like a giant turtle.
See, already you're losing me. I don't want any of that.
You just want a clown.
Yeah, and I want to be scared.
Just give me clowns and 80s kids that curse. That's all I need.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was relatively unscathed as far as, like, internet vitriol. Like, a lot of the movies we're going to talk about were either polarizing or had, like, a vocal backlash. And, you know, it was just something that people seem to enjoy, and I think that's great.
Yeah, fantastic. And that's a tough market, man, because we all know that those horror film gurus can be a little bit on the rude side when it comes to remakes and rehashes and reboots. So I think the box office numbers don't lie, and it is a hit amongst most everybody.
Yeah, I think people were complaining about they didn't really care for the Pennywise look at the beginning before the movie came out, like when they just saw like the trailer and the posters and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I thought he looked amazing. But
yeah. Well, I think once they saw the actual movie, it was a case of, wait until you see it, and then they saw it and they're like, oh, I guess I shouldn't have trolled the IMDb page for it for the last 6 months.
Right, but I remember watching the trailer and just like freeze-framing that teaser until I saw Pennywise turn, because it was like the sort of the slideshow that was happening and his hair was in the way. But once I got a look, I was like, oh yeah, man, it is. I'm like Donkey Kong, and I suck at Donkey Kong.
Randy, save me, Randy. Do something that's not scary. What's one move on yours?
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Ooh, tell us about why you love that movie.
I absolutely adore this movie because it is the very best of what you'd expect from like a 1980s John Hughes high school movie mixed with a fun Marvel superhero movie. And I've been a big vocal supporter of the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies, and I have to say that this iteration of Spider-Man even bested those. And I like those movies a lot. First two, anyway.
Ooh, would you say this is your favorite Spider-Man movie of the six?
I would say it is.
Over Spider-Man 2?
Yep, even over Spider-Man 2, which is an amazing movie.
What about Amazing Spider-Man 2 with Spider-Man?
With Jamie Foxx as Electro.
Jamie Foxx is Spider-Man. That'd be better.
And Randy goes silent.
I got
he won't even dignify it.
I mean, I'm a little bit sore about the fact that you had an entire truckload of those, like, Blu-ray holding busts of fucking Electro's head dropped off on my fucking driveway. I couldn't even give those away.
And I didn't even save one for myself. I wanted so bad.
Oh, I still got about a...
readers to hand them out?
I have about a metric shit ton left of them. I'll send one your way.
And you
COD,
moved
you cheap bitch.
Oh, yes. My God.
They still do COD?
I don't know.
It seems like the collect call of the mail service.
Yeah, that's like not since like 1989.
Yeah, how much does that suck? So you go to send something out, and then let's say the receiver is like, no, I didn't order that. Fuck that. Take it back. So you're making the shipping service, whether it's USPS or whatever, you're making them take the shit out to you and then take it back to the origin. And neither step of the way, they're getting paid. No. Nobody wins there.
Just lose-lose all around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved Amazing. I love not Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah, what you need to be, Justin? I loved Spider-Man Homecoming. I thought it was great that they made Spider-Man a kid. And there's just a couple really great scenes in there, like when Spider-Man Peter Parker is, like, under all that rubble, and he's basically, like, this teenager crying for, like, his mommy almost. Like, it's, like, it was, like, heartbreaking to watch this, because until then, you didn't forget he's a kid. And then when he's under there and like he thinks he's going to die, and he's just like freaking out before he kind of has that come to Jesus moment where he lifts it off. And I think that's one of the great scenes of the year. But yeah. One of my three films was Blade Runner 2049. Oh. And I wanted to get this off the list just in case it was on Randy's list. I know Randy also saw it and enjoyed it. I am not a huge fan of the original Blade Runner. I don't hate it as much as Justin, but I'm just kind of... it's fine. It is what it is. And I went into Blade Runner 2049 not knowing anything about what was going to happen in this movie. And it was one of the most pure and beautiful movie-going experiences I've ever had, just sitting in a theater, allowing a movie to unfold in front of me because I had no preconceived, I didn't have it mapped out in my head. I didn't know what was going to happen. The performances were all great. And I hate when people say, you have to see this movie on the big screen. But for like once, this movie almost felt like a disservice to be played at home. I firmly believe that 99.999999% of movies can be played at home, including movies most people tell you have to be seen in the theater. But this movie, with the sounds and the visuals, it's just stunning. You know, it'll win several awards for several technical awards, and I could not be happier for it. And I just think it is a fantastic film. and unfortunately nobody saw it, but Warner predicted that since no one saw the original Blade Runner. It was a weird suck.
It'll get all the Razzies.
I don't think it'll get any Razzies. There's really nothing bad about it, other than people didn't see it.
I was in the hospital.
Yeah, missed it.
I know, I was on deathbed. It was bad.
Yeah, and I love the movie because I told my dad and my mom that they should go see it because it's great, and then they both basically texted me simultaneously saying what a terrible judge character I am. It was like the worst thing they've ever seen because it's definitely a slow burn. You know, if you're going expecting, you know, Deckard to be punching people in the face and nonstop action, this might not be for you. I heard Randy breathe like he was going to say something.
Nope.
Oh, I heard you take
nothing.
Nothing at all. All right.
Wait, Randy, you liked Blade Runner, right? 2014.
Yeah, that one is actually down my list in a different category.
Oh
shit! All right, I think I know which one it is. We'll get there. Justice. Yes. What's the other thing on your list?
For a movie that I like very much.
Yeah.
I'm going with John Wick 2.
Ooh.
I love this franchise, and I can't get enough of it. I just love every second of it. I love watching Keanu Reeves shoot people in the face after he shoots them in the chest like 8 times. It's just cool. The whole segments where he was like getting his suit tailored and getting his guns and getting a map to the location, like seeing him on the job was so cool for me. You know, the first one was just that of a revenge tale, whereas this one was him going back to work, and I really like that part of it, and it was just cool to see him in his element, and loved it. Big fan.
Just shoot people in the face for 90 minutes.
I know, I can't stop. I'm actually really intrigued about that TV series idea that they're pitching about the Continental, I think is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole fun little world of these crazy hitmen and getting text messages and operators sending out hits like it was like in the World War II era of messages. It's pretty sweet.
Carrier pigeons.
Yeah, good shit.
Did you see John Wick 2, Randy?
I did, yes.
Yeah. Did you do you share Justin's assessment that it is amazing?
I love it. It's not on my list, but I did thoroughly enjoy that movie.
Yeah, I'm the same way. It's not in my top three, but it would probably crack my top 10. It was pretty good. It's definitely a film where you can enjoy yourself.
Right, and that's how I'm approaching this list of top three. It's my joyness meter when I was sitting in the theater. So, you know, a lot of times, I think it was last year, there were a lot of forgetful blockbusters where we just kept going to the movies and we don't even remember what it was that we saw. In this case, these are all movies that when it ended, I was like, fuck me, that was an incredible movie. I had a great time and I'm smiling, and then I go and get pie afterwards and talk about how amazing it was. That's my approach to this year's list.
Pie.
Chocolate cream pie.
Ooh, chocolate cream pie. I like it.
A la mode.
Ooh. Oh, Will. Can you have chocolate cream pie a la mode?
I don't know. You just add ice cream to it, and then all.
Yeah, you make anything a la mode. You could have a hamburger a la mode.
I guess physically, yes, it could. Just
anywho,
it's on your list. It's on your list, Randy. What's next?
Next on my list is, believe it or not, Wonder Woman.
All right.
That was one of my top three movies of the year. I know the third act was flawed, and I know there's a lot of criticism out there for it, but goddamn if that wasn't my absolute favorite of all the DC movies so far. And it was an unexpected treat to watch, and just a damn joy. And it seemed to be fairly well-received. So good on them. Yeah, it was one of my more enjoyable, maybe not the best movie, but one of my more enjoyable movie-going experiences last year.
That's apt assessment. And I think I think David's the only one that really hates this movie and hates women in general. But
I don't hate women.
Oh, you hate,
Wonder Woman.
You hate successful women. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. I think the No Man's Land scene in Wonder Woman is probably one of the best scenes of the year, if not the best scene of the year, when she finally steps out as Wonder Woman and like charges across the battlefield.
Yeah.
Fucks them up. I don't dislike Wonder Woman. I think Wonder Woman's a good film. I just don't think it's like the great film that people want to make it out to be. And I think it wasn't, to me, it wasn't even the best comic book movie of the year. I liked both Logan and Spider-Man Homecoming more than Wonder Woman. That's not to say that Wonder Woman's not good. I like Thor better than Wonder Woman too. It's just, I thought those were better. I like Randy said, I think that it kind of falls apart in the third act. It has a Marvel-esque villain in Ares who is dumb and forgettable, but I love
he's got a stash.
He does. I love everything on Themyscira, like all the Amazon shit. I love all of them. I'd watch a whole Amazon movie. I like that stuff. I like Robin Wright in it. I think Gal Gadot is amazing as Wonder Woman. You know, it just has a couple pacing issues in the beginning and, you know, the standard comic book third act. But, you know, I'm not begrudging Randy for putting it on his list. You know, people like what they like. There's nothing wrong with that.
So
for example,
so what you're saying is
hate
my
number two.
Oh, what is that?
what are your thoughts on Wonder Woman then, Justin? Since I'm the asshole.
No, I just like poking the bear. And you're the Papa Bear, I'm the Mama Bear, Randy's the Baby Bear.
I always forget in the story which is the bed they want. Like the bat, it's the Baby Bear is the one that's just right. Like the mom is too soft, the dad's too hard. Okay.
Yeah.
I always feel like it should be the daddy's too hard, the baby's too soft, the Mama Bear's just right.
Yeah.
Right.
Randy's bed's the one that everyone goes to.
And I mean, honestly, I can't blame them.
They don't know about all this surveillance equipment. And hooked up.
We've come for your daughter, Chuck, sort of scenario.
Motion activated, you know. He doesn't even have to hit a button.
Oh, man. I remember one time Randy and I went to Frankenstein's, and there was like this night vision camera. this is like circa 2004, so this was a big deal at the time, but we were just blown away at the quality and how small it was.
Yeah. We were like, do you know what we could do with this?
The only thing it's designed for.
It wasn't serious.
Why else would you need to report in the dark?
Man, we were just enjoying our corn dogs and talking about this amazing camera.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible.
It was. But no, I like Wonder Woman for all the reasons that you guys do, too.
Yeah.
That's all there is. But I don't like the villain, either. I think he's dumb. Mr. Mustache.
Because he has a mustache.
Ares. So stupid.
Yeah, I agree.
But I like the support cast. That's another one where the support cast is actually pretty fun.
Yeah. Now, Randy, do you think... You've seen Justice League, right, Randy? Or have you not yet?
I have not still, yeah.
Yes. Having seen Justice League, Justin, do you think it tarnishes Wonder Woman's legacy a little bit because she's in that and it's not a terrific movie? Or do you think it enhances it because it's like, oh, look how good she was on her own, and she didn't suck until she was with five other dudes?
Yeah, I think it's okay. I don't think it tarnished anything. It's not a terrible movie. It's fine. But to be honest with you, I barely remember it.
Which one, Wonder Woman or Justice League?
No, Justice League.
Just some mother boxes, Steppenwolf, and a mustache Superman.
I mean, it has many problems, but I don't think Wonder Woman is one of those. I think she was just fine. And it's hard. They have to have those movies where they all kind of, there's inter-fighting in between. That's just one of those things that happens. But she holds her own up in that movie pretty well, I think. But, I mean, I was just kind of thinking about the DC movies just now, and I think I still put Man of Steel ahead of Justice League. I think I would do Wonder Woman, Man of Steel, Justice League, Batman v Superman, Suicide Squad. Would probably be my order.
That would be my exact order as well. And you all know how much I like Man of Steel.
It's not bad, dude. I watched it again the other day. Or I say the other day, but it was like 2 months ago. And I really enjoyed it. I was like, fuck yeah, man, this movie's badass.
Love it.
I love it.
Rob. Well, my the second movie on my list is a movie I don't think either of you saw. It's called Shape of Water. It's Guillermo del Toro's movie that's going to hopefully win all of the Oscars this year. It's about a lady who falls in love with a fish creature thing, and wacky mayhem ensues. And I won't tell much more of that other than it's a beautiful fantasy-esque film between these two people, and Sally Hawkins, who plays the main protagonist. She does an amazing job, and you guys should definitely check it out when it comes on Blu-ray or Redbox or, heaven forbid, in the theaters. It's definitely worth checking out, if not because it's an amazing film, but because of how much we love Guillermo del Toro, because he's an amazing cuddly bear.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I really like Octavia Spencer, and I try to see everything that she's in, so, and I know she's in that, so I'll definitely check it out.
And much like every other movie she's ever in, she is a delight and amazing.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, no, she's just got that charisma and stuff like that. Like you're drawn to her, and she like demands your attention. Like even in like Hidden Figures and like The Help and you know a million other things, it's just they're these ensemble casts, but like she stands out like. She's like a pedigree, like above everybody else, and it's just great to see someone like that being recognized finally.
Yeah,
yeah. What's the last one on your top three, Justin?
I went with Thor Ragnarok.
Woo!
That was just the feel good movie of the year. And the whole world blows up. Spoiler alert. But I just enjoyed the shit out of it again. Based on pure enjoyment, that was just sort of a record high for me. I loved that movie from start to finish. And honestly, I am curious to see how Marvel is going to top that. I know that Black Panther comes out soon. We're just 2 months away, less than 2 months away from Black Panther. Can't wait for it. I'm on an emotional high from Guardians 2 and Thor Ragnarok, and I just feel like Black Panther's just gonna tip the scales even further, and then fucking the world ends with Infinity. And I can't wait, so super pumped. Thor Ragnarok. Check it out.
Nice. Now, Randy, you had a slightly less enthusiastic take on Thor Ragnarok.
I thought it was okay. I mean, it's not in my top three or my top five or my top 10 of the year. But it was a good time. I don't really have anything incredibly negative to say about it. It's just a little bit more humor than I would expect in a Thor movie. But then again, it is my favorite of the three Thor movies, so I guess it means I needed that humor. So I can't say anything bad about it.
I like it. Well, I'm going to skip you for a second, Randy, because Thor Ragnarok was also on my top three, so... I would just echo everything that Justin said, and I did it more in TV than film this year, is that since there was just so much like vitriol and negativity out there in the world, I found myself really like honing in and I watched The Office from start to finish. I watched Parks and Rec from start to finish. I watched all of these like happy shows to like counterbalance all the negativity. And for, like, films, Thor was that to me. It was just such an utter delight. And everything about it was great. Like, even, like, the tired tropes of the Thor franchise. I mean, it's only three movies. But, you know, the Loki always gets the better of Thor and this and that. To where, like, Thor, like, one-ups him. Like, just when you think Thor hasn't learned his lesson, Thor is able to get one-up on Loki and stuff like that. And, you know, I think Taika Waititi did just an amazing job. And it's probably one of my favorite comic book movies of all time. I know it's recency bias right now, but just from a pure joy, like an Iron Man level, just a joy to watch, it's pretty high for me. So what finishes off your list, Randy?
Well,
Thor Ragnarok?
No.
And three Conker movies on your list, right?
No, it's funny because Logan was kind of an outlier. It's not in my top three, but it would be in my top five. But just to do something other than a comic book movie, I'm going to say something perhaps a little divisive, especially from my earlier comments, but I'm going to say Star Wars The Last Jedi is still one of my top three movies of the year.
It's a fantastic choice.
Yeah.
And it is the movie that I saw the most in a theatrical environment this year as well, being that I wouldn't pay to see any other movie in a theater three times. So,
I saw Dumb and Dumber five times in the theater.
Okay. To be fair, I saw the first one twice, once at a drive-in and once at an actual theater. So I guess I'm sort of with you there. I get it.
Yeah, once was the drive-in and once was a dollar theater. And then the other two were at the regular, or the other three were at a regular cinema. Anyway, continue. I apologize.
No, that's it. I mean, I've already talked ad nauseum how I feel about the movie, and I have a feeling it's going to show up somewhere else further down the list here. So, yeah,
I agree with you, Randy. Like, it's in the end, it's still Star Wars, and even though I have legitimate gripes at certain parts, there are some really amazing bits of Last Jedi. And we were talking off air about MoviePass, and I got a MoviePass for Christmas. Two of the times I used MoviePass was to see The Last Jedi again, so I'm up to five. Just because I keep running into like assholes who haven't seen it, and who I'm like, yeah, let's go see The Last Jedi. I can go for free. And there are the parts that bug me still bug me. You know, Canto Bite and Rose and Finn and that. But they're the parts that the highs are like still there. And I mean, I'll stop talking because we did like 6 hours last podcast. You can go and listen to that. I don't think it's out of place, to be honest. It would be in my top five, Randy, and it's a fine movie.
Mm-hmm. And one of the exciting things about it is that we love it so much, and we can say things about it that you might not agree with, but in the end, we still enjoyed the movie. It's still a Star Wars movie. It's still a lot of fun, and we're still going to talk about it from now until the day that we die. It's just the way it is. Of course we're going to have problems with it. Of course we're going to love parts too, but that's the joy of Star Wars. I mean, there's still people that, to this day, that we argue about Ewoks and whether or not they could beat Stormtroopers, and they fucking did. There's no argument there. It drives me nuts. So, yeah. To hell with them. It's funny how that works.
Here are these two new people neither of us have ever met. Fight. I'm like, wait, what? Not getting off on the right foot here, buddy.
Good stuff.
And I mean, in none of the other movies that we've talked about, we could have done a near 3 hour podcast like we did for fucking Last Jedi.
So. That is true.
So yes, this is something. So moving, so we're still staying with movies, or I guess it doesn't have to be movies. We all put down our favorite hero of the year. It doesn't have to be a superhero, doesn't have to be a comic book character. It's, you know, the hero of the tale. So
before you jump to that, did you want to do underrated movie of the year?
Sure. We go underrated if you want. Why don't you tell us your underrated movie, Randy?
Okay, this is where Blade Runner hits for me. I think this was an excellent movie, and it was fairly critically well-received, even though the public wasn't really into it or wasn't really getting it. I feel like it was my best underrated movie of the year.
Yeah, and I would put a public service announcement out there for Blade Runner. You don't have to have seen the original Blade Runner, cared about the original Blade Runner. All you need to know is that Harrison Ford was in the original Blade Runner. If you know that, that's all that matters. You can go into this movie with no other knowledge. And the only reason you have to know that Harrison Ford's there is so it's not weird when Harrison Ford shows up like two-thirds throughout the movie. So, the more you know.
The more you know.
What about you, Justin? Did you have an underrated gem?
I do. I'm going to go with Atomic Blonde. Fucking love this movie. It was one of those ones where I had nothing to do, so I went to the motion picture shows, and I watched it, and I loved it. I thought that Charlize Theron was just a complete badass and beat the shit out of everybody on the screen, and she's like a chameleon, too. She can look really hideous. She can look absolutely beautiful. I don't know how she does it, and she's just amazing, and she's just hanging with the big boys. She is tougher than anyone I know, and love the movie. And it is, as you put it, my dread of 2017. Check it out. And it's in set in the 1980s, for crying out loud.
Portrayal in Fate of the Furious.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, I hated that movie. But she's a fucking amazing. And I love the 80s setting. I love hearing German 80s music. It's just really cool. Everything about it's awesome.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. Pop in the DVD, and you have 2 hours of joy.
And I didn't read the... I never read the comic book. Like the longest or coldest city or something like that. I forget what the hell it's called.
Yeah, I think it's black and white.
Yeah, I always forget what it's called. The Coldest City, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I don't do black and white comics. Can't do it. I am shallow.
Can't we bother to throw some color in that thing?
Yeah, that's just lazy, man.
Stupid Walking Dead comics. my underrated movie is Guy Ritchie's King Arthur. And
really,
it's have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
It's on HBO now. So if you have HBO Go or HBO Now, it's on. And it's not great. It's not like going to change your life. But I mean, nobody saw it, and everyone hated it just out of spite. And it's got a real Speed Racer vibe to where like everyone just hated that out of turn because it wasn't The Matrix and the Wachowski brothers did it. But underneath it, it's a pretty good film, and it's definitely worth checking out, because like I said, right now it's on HBO, so if you have HBO, or HBO Now, or HBO Go, or somebody's password, you know, it doesn't have to be yours, I don't care. I don't work for HBO. I would check it out, and it's, it's not super long. It has some real interesting Guy Ritchie-isms. You know, he's got a very unique camera style, almost like Edgar Wright does, and, his editing choices, and his choice of shots. And it really serves the story well, and it's weird. I'm not gonna lie. It's got some weirdness to it, and you can definitely see where they were trying to like build the universe for future sequels and spinoffs. But that obviously won't happen now. But check it out. It's a fun little romp. Fun romp. So now we can go to favorite hero. Justin, who? In the year of our Lord 2017, was your favorite hero?
Ooh, I'm gonna have to go with Yondu
from Yondu!
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Yes,
that's a good choice.
Michael Rooker brought his A game. He showed just how talented he really is at the craft of acting, and just blew me away at the end there when he says he may have been your father boy, but he wasn't your daddy. I just started crying. I couldn't take it anymore. He brought me to tears. Just love the shit out of Yondu in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, and it's amazing that he was able to kind of turn his story around from the first one. And, the first one, he's kind of the bad guy, but you see at the end of the first one when he sees that Star-Lord, like screwed him with the troll doll. He's not mad. He just kind of smiles. And you're like, okay, I think I understand this character. And then they just ramped that up in the second one, and it was a lot of fun. And that scene where him and Rocket are escaping the ship, and he's just like, just killing everybody
with
his fucking arrow and stuff.
That was so cool.
Yeah, Yondu is definitely rad.
Yeah.
Now, Randy, you didn't like Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Did you like Yondu, though?
I loved Yondu. I loved, spoiler alert, I loved his funeral at the end. I thought that was a very uncharacteristically emotional part in, Marvel movies. They're not known for high emotion like that, but that definitely, you feel that one. You may recall that I did enjoy Guardians 2 more so than 1, so I did like the movie. Wasn't on my top 3, but I liked it.
It's on Netflix. You can rewatch it. You can.
I just
more
might
appreciation. Yeah,
I just might.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. I watched it the other day. Yeah. Well, who was your hero, Justin or Randy?
Mine is Kylo Ren.
Woo-hoo, what? The villain of Star Wars?
He's a hero because he kills Snoke, and I think he's ultimately going to go balls deep into the good side. He's just not quite there yet, but But he was my favorite hero of The Last Jedi. He was, like I said in the last episode, he was my favorite character arc, and I think he is doing the most to push the story forward, ultimately, for the good guys. Fight me.
Wow, so you think he'll be redeemed in 9?
I think so. I think so.
I mean, he killed Han Solo, you know.
I don't know. There's one of those crazy tinfoil hat flat earth conspiracy thing going on about it was actually Han Solo who had his hand on the lightsaber that ignited it, because he knew that Ben didn't have the strength to do it, and it was the only way he could prevent his son from being killed by Snoke. So there are some that say that Han sacrificed himself.
I've seen those. I don't buy it. Han looks pretty surprised when that lightsaber goes through.
He does. I just recently rewatched The Force Awakens. I'm like, yeah, he didn't see that coming.
He's got this look on his face.
Yeah, he was really thinking it was going to work out a different way.
Yeah. That's a shame.
There's a really great, I wouldn't say meme because it's not funny, but it's like a shot-by-shot comparison. And it's the moment where Kylo Ren takes off his mask and sees Han for the first time, and the moment where Kylo Ren realizes that he's touched Leia in the Force, and just the transformation on Adam Driver's face, it just shows, A, what a tremendous actor he is, and just really highlights the nuances of Kylo Ren. Spoiler alert, he'll show up later on my list in a different category, but it's, everyone sees he's got the temper tantrums and stuff like that, but then he also goes, so he goes big, but he also goes really small at times, and no scene really shows Kylo going into himself is that when Snoke is just fucking berating him. It's like, and you got beat by a girl. It's basically what Snoke is saying. Beat by a girl who never picked up a lightsaber. And he's just basically calling him a little bitch and what a piece of shit you are. And he just sits there like a kid and takes it. And then he goes off and he has his little temper tantrum. And, you know, it's great. Snoke's calling him a kid in a mask and stuff like that. And yeah, it just makes me wonder what would have been in the prequels if someone like Adam Driver would have been Anakin, like someone of that ilk. You know, Hayden Christensen, you know, he's fine, and, you know, but yeah, we could have done better probably. But my hero's Logan. Oh, actually, before I say that, Justin, you buy Randy? Is Kylo Ren a hero?
I mean, he saves Rey. That's a hero thing to do. he doesn't kill his mama.
That's true. And he does your lightsaber thingy where he turns it on into somebody's face.
Yeah, now we're talking.
You gotta like that.
I do feel like he showed hero-like qualities in the movie. So yeah, I'll agree with Randy on that one.
Yeah. That's great. I love it when the list goes in a weird, fun direction. Thank you, Randy.
I strive for weird.
Don't you ever.
You certainly do. My hero is Logan, my favorite hero of the year, and it's partially a cop-out because I think Logan is on the edge of my top three list, and I really wanted to show some love for this amazing comic book movie. You know, we always talk about the MCU being a lot of the same over and over and over again, to where Fox did something really cool with both Logan and last year with Deadpool in their trying new things. And who knows if those will end up panning out now that Disney owns them. But just the whole movie of Logan was just this great love letter send off to this character that Hugh Jackman has embodied for 17 years. And, you know, he probably looks better in Logan than he did in 2000's X-Men. If you watch that, he's a little doughy, but you could really tell that James Mangold and Hugh Jackman had such love and reverence for this character, and this character who never gave a shit about anything. We see that it's all just this facade. You know, he's taking care of Professor X. You know, he's risking his life for, you know, his quote-unquote daughter, even though he believes that his quest is foolhardy, that they're going based off some comic book information. He believes that Professor X didn't die for nothing, and it's this beautiful, heartwarming tale, and it's great that it ends the character of Logan. Spoiler alert. So
yeah, and in all seriousness, as much as I despise the Academy, Logan is the movie that sets the comic book universe apart in Hollywood, and it has every chance of winning Best Picture as anything else. Like, I think it's that incredible.
Yeah. What do you think, Randy? Did you were you touched by Logan?
I was touched in the naughty space and
in between. He's got claws, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but it hurts him just as much to pop them as it would hurt you to receive them, let me tell you. I enjoyed the shit out of that movie, and it is on my top five.
Oh.
Just outside of my top three. The only reason I didn't vote it in to top three was I didn't want three superhero movies, but I think he is a damn fine choice for best hero. Nice. I don't think it's cop out at all.
I like it.
Have you seen the movie Cop Out?
Yeah. with Willis and Tracy Morgan.
Yeah, your buddy.
Yeah, directed by Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith telling stories from that movie about what a dick Bruce Willis is way better than the movie Cop Out.
I agree 100%.
You had mentioned the Academy, Justin, and I think it's a very strong possibility that they will reserve one spot in the Best Picture race for a comic book movie. Do you think, and obviously it's going to be either Logan or Wonder Woman, do you think that Logan is more deserving than Wonder Woman, or does the social stigma that comes with Wonder Woman, does that propel it above Logan?
Oh, that's a very good question. And I could... The film critic in me would have to say that Logan deserves it more than Wonder Woman, just for the way the movie was shot and the overall story being told. But I can appreciate the hoops that Wonder Woman had to jump through, and I do think it is important in Hollywood history to show that this movie was successful and it was directed by a female. But I think that Logan is a far superior movie.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, Randy? You put Wonder Woman in your top three films of the year, with Logan being kind of an outlier. Would you stand by that from the Academy and put Wonder Woman up above Logan for like an Academy Award for Best Picture?
I only wouldn't because although they are both in the larger genre of superhero movies, Logan is one of those kind of movies just because it's darker tone and more kind of gritty personal narrative storytelling. It seems a lot more like what I would consider Oscar bait. It's got those bigger, deeper performances. Wonder Woman was a lot more fun to watch. It was a lot more happy and upbeat, you know, and, you know, at least your hero, your titular hero does not fucking die in that one. So I think there's a lot to be said about a triumph of woman filmmaker, you know, breaking glass ceilings and getting to the point of making this huge blockbuster movie. And I think there's a lot going for that. And the cast is amazing. But I think just from what we would typically see win a lot of Oscars, it would lean more towards Logan. And even that, I think, is a stretch just because it does have that stigma of being a comic book movie.
Yeah. Which
I'm sorry.
Oh no, I was just gonna say it just drives me nuts that there is such a stigma when it's the comic book movies that are keeping these places in business. They're the ones that are making the money.
Right. Yeah, I think in a perfect world it would be I firmly believe that one of them will be nominated for Best Picture this year. And I think that I would like to see Logan nominated for Best Picture and Patty Jenkins for Best Director.
I think that's fair.
I don't think either one of them wins, but I think that the offering, you know, the best comic movie the closest the comic movie came to being nominated for Best Picture would have been The Dark Knight, but you know that didn't get nominated for any of the big awards. Obviously, Heath Ledger won for Best Supporting Actor. And so I think that this is the year that the Academy, now that they're younger and more diverse, I think they'll nominate a Conker movie for Best Picture. And I think it'll be Logan. I'd hope it's not Wonder Woman, but I mean, at the end, if it's Wonder Woman, I won't be, it's not the end of the world. I just think Logan's a better film.
Sure. I mean, it's still a step in the right direction. I do think it's funny that Randy said Wonder Woman is more enjoyable, or at least, what did you say? It was more fun? Something
it was more fun. Yeah.
And it's a World War One movie. It's just funny that it's the war to end all wars, and it's a fun movie.
But no, don't you agree though? It's a
absolutely
lot more upbeat, fast paced.
Absolutely,
it's a lot more light. It's more light. It's not. Yeah. It's not as.
It's Iron Man versus Dark Knight. Same summer, and it one was amazing, but the other one was just more fun to watch. It's like, dude, I feel like cutting myself after watching Dark Knight, but Iron Man, I feel like I'm at a rock concert. That's cool.
I watched The Dark Knight last week, and man, that movie's so good. Like I get there's such a backlash against it, but I mean, that movie is just...
No, it's good. I like
Batman
it.
Isn't even the main character in that film.
Mm-hmm. Is that
Batman is a supporting character.
And he's like a daytime bat.
Yeah.
It's always daytime in that movie.
Yeah, what are you doing, Nolan? It's the Dark Knight.
Not the day night. Seriously.
Well, Justin, we'll go villainous. Who was your villain of the year?
Oh, man. Okay, so I had originally put Ego because I love me the Kurt Russell. But I didn't want to have two Guardians on there. So I changed it. So now I am going with Pennywise from It.
Ooh.
Scary, scary clown. I thought that Bill Skarsgård had a huge uphill battle against Mr. Curry, the man, the myth, the legend. And that is, you know, Tim Curry is everyone's favorite scary clown. And everyone was, I mean, even myself included, I was worried. I was like, man, this is going to be hard. How are you gonna beat that it, you know? And Bill Skarsgård was just amazing. He was so scary that he even made the kids cry while they were filming because they were just freaked out. And I think that that is just nuts. And I loved it, honestly, from start to finish. I think that... He is just a tremendous villain, and gives me the heebie-jeebies just thinking about it.
Yeah, just from the, like, 8 seconds I see in the trailers for It, like when he's coming out of, like, the sewer water, I'm like, no, this is not for me.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking rough. And even in, like, the first 5 minutes of the movie, when you get that the meet cute, as it were, with Georgie Boy and Pennywise, they cranked that shit up to 11, man. And I remember Will and I looked at each other like, oh my god, that just happened. And we were just freaking out, just peeing all over each other. We were so scared. And not too many movies can do that to me. And this one certainly did. And that has to do wholeheartedly with Bill Skarsgård's portrayal of Pennywise.
Yeah. Pennywise is in my favorite GIF or GIF of the year. It's him like waving Georgie's hand like he's like waving to somebody, and then it's Forrest Gump waving back from like the Gen A.
That's great.
Yeah, I love that. Randy, villains. What is
all
it?
Right.
Was your hero? Obviously it must be these goddamn resistance fighters trying to fuck up the New Orders, the First Order's plans.
Alright, my best villain, Luke Skywalker. No, I'm fucking with you. It's the Vulture, Michael Keaton, Spider-Man Homecoming. I fucking loved that performance. And he was probably the most standout villainy character to ever hatch a villainous plot. It was wonderful. And he was far more terrifying when he was outside of the Vulture armor, because he never really ended up doing anything cool or that badass in it. when he was at his really most terrifying is when he's just sitting there threatening Peter Parker in the back of the car with a fucking gun to his head, casually over the seat of the car. That is amazing. I adore that scene. I adore that movie. And goddamn, I love that man, Michael Keaton.
And he's just a regular dude. Like, dude got fucked over.
Yeah, they make the best villains sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, because that's everyone's complaint is that Marvel has such terrible disposable villains. And not only is he a great villain, they didn't kill him. You know, he's there at the end. And he's clearly got plans for Parker because he's not going to sell him out to the Lizard.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that dad talk in the back of the car is another great scene from the year. And it's Peter Parker and whatever the Vulture's name is in real life. They're not in their costumes. And it's the great scene where they're in the car and they both put it together at the same time. Like, oh, shit, that's the Vulture. Oh, shit, that's Spider-Man. And neither one can act on it because neither one can let the girl in the car know who they are. And they have that conversation. And I'm with you, Randy. It was a great portrayal. He was Batman, you know.
He's still my Batman.
He could still be Batman today. Do you concur, Justin? Was the Vulture amazing?
He was. The parts that I was awake for the movie, I really enjoyed him. Oh, man. You believe I've seen that movie 3 times, and all 3 times I have fallen asleep at almost the exact same part. It's so crazy.
And you fell asleep during the best part of Jumanji.
I know, and I really like Jumanji, too. I only missed like 8 minutes. I feel bad. But I really, really like the new Jumanji movie. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's worth your time. And I really like the little tribute to Alan Parrish. I thought that was great.
Yeah. In the little treehouse. Yeah, that Jack Black scene, you might just need to like YouTube it. I'm sure someone's put it up there. It's pretty great.
That would be stealing, Dave.
Well, you're not the one stealing. You're just, oh, wow, look, someone. Maybe this is an official clip. Oh, it's not. Well, I'm almost done with it anyways.
Okay, one of those.
Plausible deniability.
Sure.
I'll look on the EPK, see if maybe they published it. It seems like a scene that they'd release after the movie to get the buzz going. My villain is Kylo Ren. I know it's Randy's hero, but I'm always more a fan of the bad guys. And so, like Randy said, you know, I Roger everything he says that Kylo Ren and Rey are the most compelling plot going forward into Episode 9. And I think it really falls on the back of Adam Driver, who plays Kylo Ren, Ben Solo. Mm. And I think he does an amazing job. He's totally shredded. Just asked Matt the Radar Tech. And I just can't say enough about him. And that goofy lightsaber that I thought I was going to hate, I love everything about Kylo Ren. And it's like we were talking about a minute ago. It's, yeah, he has his temper tantrums just to show he's not entirely stable. But then he goes in and into himself and he goes quiet and introspective. And then, you know, he's like, I want you to fire every gun at that man. And, you know, it's he's cool. He's calm. He's collective. He's psychotic. He's it's like if Vader only succeeded because he had the Emperor. It's like, take a wrestling term. Let me lose half our audience here. There's a guy named Vince Russo. He created a lot of great wrestling things under Vince McMahon. Like he created DX, the whole Attitude Era of the 90s. And that was because he had Vince McMahon to filter his ideas, and he only got the good ones came through. He went to WCW and didn't have the filter, and he made a lot of shit decisions and killed the whole company. So I'm a big proponent of, you know, you need someone at the top. You need an idea guy. And Snoke was that idea guy, and we'll see what happens in Episode 9.
Kylo Ren dropped a house on Luke Skywalker. I don't like him.
Yeah. And his socks curled up. And
yeah, pretty much. And he burned down a temple.
All right. Now, do we want... And he burned down a temple! Look at Luke Skywalker. Do we want to go on to stay positive and go to TV, or should we just hit up our disappointments first? Go negative quickly.
I forgot about TV.
Oh. Well, we'll go to disappointments so you can think about what TV you like. Randy, what was your... What was your disappointment for 2017, or 2, or 3, or 12, however many? I know you hate a lot of stuff.
Okay, cool, because I have a list. I couldn't narrow it down to just one.
All right.
Well, they're all movies. I don't have any TVs listed.
That's fine. Here.
But, all right, so even though it was in my top three, Star Wars The Last Jedi was still a big disappointment for the reasons that we've already covered. Just because it didn't live up to my own personal expectations, it really is no reflection on the fine film that was actually made. It's really just my expectations going into it that weren't met. So it still was a disappointment to me, but it's still a top three. Also on the list, Baby Driver. I like a lot of Edgar Wright movies. Did not particularly care for this one. A lot of it felt forced and contrived to me.
Was it the music choices you didn't like?
I mean, that's part of it. It just didn't have the same zeal, because there's usually such a visual flair for how his movies are done. And this one, it had something going for it, but and it wasn't necessarily bad. It didn't catch me like some of the others did. So, again, maybe I just went in with abnormally high expectations that just couldn't possibly be met by a movie. So,
Do you think that a lot of it has to do also with, you know, Edgar Wright movies are usually pretty well contained as far as like the cast goes, to where this one, you know, sure, we had Baby and stuff like that, but we had a lot of people coming in and out of the film. You know, we had Kevin Spacey, John Hamm, Jamie Foxx, all these people, to where there wasn't really a large group of centralized characters. Do you think that the format of the film, since you are more attuned to the Nick Frost, Simon Pegg type Edgar Wright films, do you think that was kind of a jarring change, and that's kind of what you missed as well?
I don't know. Maybe I just kind of missed the banter of that particular duo. I liked all the celebrity cameos in this one. I genuinely liked all the characters. I thought John Hamm was fun, and that was a role I've never quite seen him in before. And Kevin Spacey, say what you will about him, but I thought he was really good in the movie. I can't really nitpick any of the performances specifically. I don't know. Maybe it's the music. Maybe it was the day I saw it. I wasn't, you know, I was menstruating or something. Who knows?
We know that's true.
Yeah, yeah. But moving on my list, because I have a couple others I want to throw out there. T2, Trainspotting. I didn't see it in theater. I waited until I was able to stream it, and it was definitely not what I expected for a follow-up from the first movie. There's a lot of kind of low-blow trying to snatch and grab some nostalgia from the first movie, but for the most part, it felt like this is a story that didn't need to be told. They brought back a lot of cameos from original characters that were kind of unnecessary. I felt like having this whole movie for Ewan McGregor as, you know, kind of to revisit a role that made him somewhat of a household name, it just was so lackluster. It didn't really give a whole lot for his character to do, not a whole lot of room for growth. Visually, the style was one of the great things about the first Trainspotting movie was it had an amazing style between the music and the look of it. It was just maybe it was something that worked really well in the 90s, and if they tried to do it now, it would flop. But the look was just it looked like it was shot by a 12-year-old with an iPhone. It just didn't have the same look. It didn't look cinematic at all. It didn't. it just felt cheap. The whole thing about it felt cheap, like you know Aladdin 2 when they couldn't afford to get Robin Williams to do the voice of the genie,
and they got Homer Simpson.
Totally, it felt like, you know, hey, thanks for the GoBots. I really wanted a Transformer.
Close.
I didn't particularly care for it, but your mileage may vary. The last one on my disappointment list was Dunkirk. Overall, I feel like I enjoyed the movie overall, but it was way overhyped and overrated. And I applaud their striving to go all practical for their extras and their effects and everything. And while a lot of it really worked and worked well, I never really bought the fact, and we talked about this in a previous podcast, I never really bought the fact that there were 400,000 soldiers on that beach. It just never felt big enough. It felt like the whole thing was too small, and that immediately took me out of it in terms of believability. And I know that might be nitpicky, and I'm an asshole. That's well established. But, yeah, that was one of my disappointments.
You just hate the band One Direction.
Sure.
The main character is, like, the Liam dude from One Direction.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people bitching about it. People are dumb. That's so funny. You don't like it. I would have thought if there was a movie this year that was made for Randy Van Dyke, it would have been Dunk.
I know, right? That's crazy. I liked all the pamphlets that had, like, "We surround you, surrender."
I love period pieces. I love World War II stuff. It really should have been right up my alley.
I liked the ticking clock for 93 minutes.
And I still have no idea what the fuck Tom Hardy says in, like, any movie that he's in.
You are a murderer!
Swear to God.
I was born into World War II.
No fucking clue what that man says.
Yeah. He has amazing face acting.
I would rather he hold up one of those cancer voice box things to his throat, and I gotta hear that when he acts. That would be way better.
Like, can we see his whole face in one of these movies?
Swear to God.
He's a handsome man.
Yeah.
Oh. Is that all? Is that
he was in Last Jedi, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was a stormtrooper. But anyway, yeah, that's it for my disappointment list.
All right. Justin, do you have one or two or 12?
I think I just have one.
What is it? Let's hear it.
It Comes at Night. This is a movie that I thought was going to be so scary. The trailer made it sound like it was one of the creepiest movies of the year, and it is a whole lot of nothing. There's sort of like an illness that's taken people, and Joel Edgerton is the sort of the patriarch of this family, and there's this other family that comes in, and it's supposed to be sort of like this melting pot, as it were, and it's awful. It's not good. In fact, when the movie ended, the entire theater was just kind of looking at each other like, the fuck? is that really the movie? And everyone was just talking. You know how, like, when the herd is leaving the theater? Every other word was sucked. As we were walking out. And we had to go drink afterwards and go bowling. And we were just had to get wash the bitter grapes out of our mouths. Sucked. Hated it. Biggest disappointment. I was so looking forward to it. I rounded up my troops and we went and saw it and we all hated it.
No.
I know. Too bad.
I'm sorry. I have two disappointments, and neither one are really laser focused. My first one is I'm really disappointed this year in geeks. Like, you know, we went a long time with movies that we wanted to see not getting made and stuff like that. And we're kind of in the golden era of geek. You know, there's all these Conker movies, we got new Star Wars, we got all of this cool shit, and we're just being terrible to each other. And, you know I'm closer to it because I love Star Wars and I'm in a ton of Star Wars Facebook groups and stuff like that. And, you know, gone are the days, and social media is to blame for a lot of this, gone are the days of people being able to disagree and have a conversation. Social media has given everyone a voice, and now everyone is an expert on everything, and they cannot, like us, they cannot be corrected or anything like that. If you hate The Last Jedi and someone likes it, that person is a fucking idiot and doesn't know shit and isn't a real fan, or if someone didn't like it, they're just a fucking hater, and they're old, and they don't like the old shit and stuff like that, and it can never be a conversation. And like we talked about last podcast, whatever my opinion of the film is, your opinion is your own. I have friends who think it's the best Star Wars movie ever, and that's great. I'm happy that they love Star Wars because that means Star Wars will continue forward. And I have friends who hated it, but they can have a conversation about I didn't like X, Y, or Z, but I understand if you liked A, B, and C. that's how it should be. You know, calling people out and saying, if you like Last Jedi, you're the stupidest fucking person in the whole universe, and you don't know anything about Star Wars, you're not a real Star Wars fan, or, you know, the flip side of people who just are like, I can't, if you hate everything, you're fucking stupid, you can't see anything, all you like is, like, fan fiction about Jabba the Hutt having sex with Ula the Slave Girl and this and that, and, you know, it's killing me. And, like, DC versus Marvel, it's like, why would you pick one side? Why wouldn't you want them both to be great? And yes, I've been a very vocal, you know, proponent of DC because I think they're doing terrible things, but I never want them to not do good. You know, the last thing I would want is for DC to stop making movies, because I love Batman and Superman, and Wonder Woman's turned out to be a delight, and The Flash looks like he's going to be great. I want all of them to be good. They haven't all been good, in my opinion. Again, you know, some people like the movies that I don't like, and that's fine. But just this rooting against film, and, you know, I want DC to fail because I'm a Marvel guy. I want Marvel movies to fail because I want DC to be the in vogue thing, or I want Harry Potter to fail because I like Lord of the Rings and shit like that. It's like, why can't we just get along? Why can't we Rodney King this shit? Just all get along. Why does everything have to be so black and white? Like, and if your opinion is A and I'm on B, we cannot be friends. And it just drives me nuts. And I think that us geeks are being terrible to what we love and to each other. And I think we should just mellow out and just enjoy the golden age of geek that we're in, because it's not going to last forever. There's going to come a point to where there are too many comic movies, and too many Star Wars movies, and too many dinosaur movies, and too many wizarding movies, and orcs and elves. And they're going to say, no more. You know, all movies used to be Westerns. We don't get any Westerns. All movies were sword and sandal movies. We don't get those movies. There will come a point to where we will not be the majority of movies anymore. And we'll look back at this and be like, wow, I wish I wasn't such an asshole during that period. So I'll get off my soapbox on this one.
I think you were supposed to pick a movie. You did it wrong.
No. Geeks. And then my second one, unless any of you wanted to dare retort to my just rambling manifesto I just did.
No.
I wouldn't either. My other is, it's slightly less, and it almost is contrary to what I just said, is I think Netflix is killing television.
Yeah, kill it.
I mean, and not only that is, I work from home, and I usually have something on in the background, be it Netflix, HBO, you know, my DVR, something like that. And it seems the quality of programming Netflix is acquiring is not the level of which either my rosy glasses is telling me, or maybe I've just watched everything on Netflix. But it seems that their influx is trickling of, like, third-party films. And I understand they're focusing mostly on, you know, their own stuff they produce in-house, because that's stuff they can control and it'll never go away. But I feel that I'm not getting as much as I was getting before as far as, like, quality. And I think that the Netflix method of binge-watching is ruining, like, the conversation for television, because, you know, when you watch a show from week to week, you know that if the show airs on Tuesday, Wednesday, you can talk about, oh, did you see X, Y, and Z? What do you think is going to happen next? To where now we're on this cycle of everyone binges at their own schedule. And so I'm only on episode 3 of this, and you're on episode 8, so you have to try to remember what I've seen so you can talk about it. And then by the time we've all finished binging it, we've all moved on to the next thing, and we never talked about the first thing. And I feel it's doing a disservice, and it's creating this disposable television that is great to have on just in the background, because there is merit to background television. And it just feels like that's all that Netflix is creating. And they're creating these high-quality programs. But, you know, let's take House of Cards, for example. You know, I watched House of Cards, like, the first weekend. You know, Justin maybe watched it, like, a week later, and Randy watched it 8 months later. You know, we never really got to have a conversation about it. But Game of Thrones, every week we were able to talk about that because we were all on the same page. the whole world was on the same page, and we're like, fuck, can you believe what happened? And we got a preview for next week, and this is going to happen, to where I almost wish Netflix went to a non-binge format. And I may be in the minority. I know people like to get all of their shows at once and just binge the shit out of it. But I feel like it's making disposable television that's not memorable. And I like to talk about what I watch with people, and I may be in the minority. But I just feel that binging television is doing a disservice to the community of people who enjoy their television. Does that make sense? Am I just mumbling? No,
it does. I mean, a perfect example is shows like House of Cards and Orange is the New Black, and even the Marvel shows, we don't really... And Stranger Things, for crying out loud. None of us were ever on the same page, so we couldn't even really talk about it on this podcast. And that was infuriating for me. I felt like I did my homework, or one of you guys did your homework, and I was like, oh yeah, I totally forgot. and that sucks, whereas when it's on a weekly basis, you're able to chat about it each and every week.
Yeah. Yep. For example, I just this past weekend started watching The Defenders, and I am like two Marvel Netflix series behind. I haven't even started Punisher yet, so I am months behind in that game. But I agree. And if we were to see Netflix go to a more traditional weekly episode model, I think people can still binge the way that they're used to. It just means they're not going to have to watch it right from the get-go. If it's an 8 or 10 episode season, you know, wait 10 weeks, wait a couple months before you sit there and binge it if that's how you like to watch TV. But for those of us who like to have a rousing conversation surrounding it, we want to have that water cooler moment the next day when you're at work and you can talk to your buddies about it, then they should make that an option. They should give it to us. Or you manufacture that yourself. And with those who you would talk about the show with, for example, us, the three of us right here, we could just say, all right, we're going to limit this. You can only watch one episode per week. That's your homework assignment. And we're going to talk about it. And we're going to break it down. Sure, the rest of the world might be done with the series while we're on episode 3, but that would be a way to get the conversation going and to enhance your personal viewing experience. It's,
yeah,
like, it's like an Oprah book club thing.
Ooh, I like that. You can like see Netflix club.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right, I'll get off my soapbox there. Sorry.
Rubble.
Sorry I got preachy on you guys. I won't do it again. I probably will. All right. Well, let's move on to the small box since we sort of talked about it. Justin, what was your favorite thing on the boob tube or the little TV?
It was actually a Netflix original series.
Which one?
It was Mindhunters. So good. It's about the FBI doing psychological profiles on serial killers. It was a new concept, profiling. They didn't even have a word for serial killer yet. They were calling them like sequential killers, and it was just incredible, man. The show blew me out of the water. I watched it with the lady, and we binged it in I think 2 sessions. Just loved it. Couldn't get enough of it. Fascinating stuff, and it's based on real people, and it was fun to Wikipedia these different killers that they talk to in prison, and then there's some great YouTube videos, sort of like a side-by-side comparison of the actors speaking versus the actual killer, and they got it down, man. It's scary. This is intense what's involved in the craft. Anyway, Mindhunters, check it out. Amazing show. It's on the Netflix. It is expected to return for a season 2. Of course, we have to wait a year for that to happen. But take your time. It's not going anywhere. But be aware that once you start, it's pretty easy to zip right through it. Loved it. Mindhunters, check it out.
Yeah, it's on my list of things I have to watch just because I love everything that Fincher does. And I want to see his version of a Netflix show.
Yeah, it's good, dude. Good, good, good.
What about you, Rando? What was good on the TV for you?
All right, for me, the
Doctor Who?
Number one for me is Game of Thrones.
Ooh.
And I know because it feels like it's been forever since we last watched an episode. It may be out of mind, but it's not out of my heart. I absolutely love that show, and I've got two honorable mentions. Ooh, one, of cool. course, is Stranger Things Season 2. You know, got to throw in a Netflix original there, which I absolutely adored. Don't think I liked it quite as much as Season 1, but it was really, really solid. And then a show that I just binged the holy shit out of, and I got all caught up on over winter break while I was off work, Mr. Robot. And Season 3, the one that we just came out of, was particularly good.
Wait, so did you watch all three seasons in a row, or have you been watching it?
I watched the first season a couple months back, and then I binged 2 and 3 okay. over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't watch it. Everyone loves it, though.
Oh, so good. And it's photographed so well. It's shot in a really interesting way. It's a joy to watch. And it's got Christian Slater in it. Come on.
He's in the intro video to Saber on The Office.
Yes, he is.
But what about that Rami Malek guy? Is he always kind of creeped me out a little bit. He's kind of
it's perfect for this role.
Though. Okay.
If he's kind of this weird, off-putting, kind of creepy, you don't know whether you trust him kind of dude.
Okay.
Absolutely perfect for this role.
Okay.
And he's going to be Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes, that's true.
And everyone says he's amazing.
Yeah.
Except Bryan Singer.
Really?
Yeah, they have creative differences.
I don't know nothing about birth and no babies.
Except he's fired now, so we'll just say that Mr. Malik won that one.
Yeah. Point Malik. So my TV, like I was talking earlier, I was trying to counterbalance all the negativity on the boob tube. And so I binged The Office, Parks and Recs, all these fun shows that just put smiles on my faces and made me so happy. And this was the year I actually sat down and watched Rick and Morty. And I watched season 3, and then I went back and watched seasons 1 and 2, and I loved every single second of it. And season 3 was so funny, and it was so great, and there's so many callbacks to non-things, and as far as just weird, cool sci-fi, this has it. It's a great genre of television show as far as, sci-fi goes, and it's hysterical, and I think Pickle Rick is one of my favorite half hours of TV almost ever. Just how absurd it gets, and just the lengths that he goes to. I cannot wait for the next season.
No.
Pickle Rick. Do either of you watch Rick and Morty?
Yeah, fantastic. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I just started this past season.
Oh my god, Mr.
I'm late to the party.
Meeseeks is my favorite. I love it. Don't look at me. He wrote me into this.
I just want to take 2 strokes off my golf swing.
We're sure trying. Oh, it's great. Love it. It's a very dark show, man. It'll just take a turn. Man, when they kill each other. It gets intense, dude.
Yeah.
I've never seen such a dark show.
That was one of the cool things about season 3 is they showed the aftermaths of some of their things. The one episode in season 2 where they basically turn everyone in the one universe into monsters, mm-hmm. and then they end up one of the episodes in season 3 they go back to the universe and this is the stuff you don't see about the adventures. Rick does some bad shit, and I like that they reference each other, and it's a real tight narrative, and Dan Harmon is real big on the hero's journey about, that they have to grow, and every episode understands the circle of the hero and stuff like that. And it's interesting from a storytelling point of view.
Right.
But it also goes with my disappointment of geeks because Rick and Morty fans are pretty terrible.
True attitude.
I'm always happy. I don't care that they only had 8 packets of that Szechuan sauce at the McDonald's. I wasn't going to burn down a McDonald's because of it.
Oh, yeah. They are terrible.
I mean, McDonald's really is really the one who fucked that up. But there were two ways that the fans could have reacted, and they went the way that didn't look so good.
They chose poorly.
But I mean, how are they supposed to know how much? Like, do they really want to take a bath in this sauce, or do they want to just buy a little and hope for the best?
Well, don't do it. Like, they didn't even like tie it into Rick and Morty. Like, they gave like a poster that was like in like the art style of Rick and Morty, but there was like no tie into the show. So I mean, either do it or don't do it. And it's like they did. It was only like select ones, and like the ones like had, some of them got like eight. Like, you got eight packets for like everybody. I mean, get a box. I mean, you don't have to like make like millions, but you know, send each one a case. You know,
I sincerely doubt the whole store only got eight. It sounds to me like the store got a case, but all the employees raided the shit out of it. And, oh, yeah, there's eight left for guests.
Yeah, that's entirely possible.
I don't know. Anytime there's some weird release like that, people go batshit crazy. I remember there was like a Jones soda for Nuka-Cola for Fallout. And it was like a Target thing. And people just went batshit crazy over it. And they had to have it. And then we were, like, limiting it to, like, one per guest. And then people would, like, freak out. It's so stupid. I don't know.
Fans.
I know. They're the worst.
Short for fanatics. Am I right, guys?
Right. I don't think that there's anything that I have to have that I just would lose my shit over if I didn't get.
Yeah. I mean, what's the point? What is it going to accomplish?
It's all just stuff.
I mean, I didn't get my Luke Skywalker standing out in front of the First Order, mowing them all down with a laser sword, and I survived.
Yeah, and the person you're always taking that on is never the person at fault.
I know.
Like, I mean, in this scenario, the person at Target putting the cola out, enforcing the one per person, is not the person that ordered it.
Oh man, they're the worst. They ruined everything.
Yeah.
Oh man, stupid red khaki.
I mean, exactly. I mean, send a letter to Target, like Mr. Target or something like that. You know, or send to like find who the buyers are or something like that. Those are the people who are responsible for it, not the poor schlup who's like ringing you up and asking you if you want to save 5% by using your red card.
Yeah, yell at Mr. Jones.
Yeah. Dick Jones.
Yeah, number two guy at OCP.
All right. So that's 2017. I thought it was a great year, personally and at the movies. And looking forward, 2018 has a pretty insane slate of films coming out. I mean, we've mentioned Infinity War. We got Solo, a Star Wars Story, Black Panther, Ant and the Wasp, Deadpool 2, Ready Player One, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, Aquaman, A Wrinkle in Time, Venom, Tomb Raider, Pacific Rim 2, The Predator, Incredibles 2, Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald, X-Men, Dark Phoenix, New Mutants, Ocean's 8, Mission Impossible 6, Meg, Maze Runner 3, Mary Poppins Returns, Rampage, Wreck-It Ralph 2, Spider-Man, Into the Spider-Verse, and the list goes on and on and on. Equalizer 2, Sicario 2, Mamma Mia 2, Holmes and Watson, How the Grinch Stole Christmas again.
Hotel Transylvania 3.
Yeah, they're on a cruise this time. we got a ton of stuff. A lot of it looks really good. So maybe if we can narrow it down to 1, 2, 3, however many, what, Randy, are you most excited about for next year? Or I guess this year.
I'm looking forward to Solo, Star Wars Story. I am also looking forward to Avengers Infinity War. And if I'm picking a third thing, I'm also going to say Ready Player One.
Nice. Ooh, which, by the way, had Depeche Mode in the trailer.
Oh, my God, yes.
And Van Halen.
Oh, my God, yeah.
What about you, Justin?
Pushing all my buttons.
What are you looking forward to?
Ooh, a couple things. Sicario 2. For sure. When you asked me what my favorite movie of 2017 was, I wanted to say Sicario because I watch it all the time and it's so amazing.
It could be your favorite movie this year. Not this year, but you watched it.
God, I love it so much. So I am definitely looking forward. And when that trailer came out, that teaser trailer came out like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever, that was a complete surprise to me. I had no idea that was even being made, so... totally pumped for that. And then God Particle. If that movie ever comes out, it's sort of the third in the line of Cloverfield movies, sort of that spiritual successor, as it were. That's a movie that was like they've been trying to make since like 2012. So it's one of those movies that Paramount just kind of put on the back burner. So hopefully that comes out in 2018. I know it was supposed to come out in April, but I don't know if it will. If it does, I'm looking forward to it. I'm a sucker for the Cloverfields. 10 Cloverfield Lane was just a sleeper hit for me. Loved it. And I'm anxious for more in this little universe.
Very nice. Yeah, I mean, mine shouldn't be any surprise to anybody. You know, there's a couple movies that I'm really excited for. You know, Black Panther, I cannot wait for it. Ryan Coogler is an amazing director, and I've loved everything he's done. I think what we've seen so far, Black Panther looks great. Same thing with Infinity War. It looks like it's going to be the culmination of everything that started with Iron Man. Solo, you know, Star Wars story, you can't go wrong with Star Wars. But, I mean, Ready Player One is the movie that I am most looking forward to in 2018. I've tried many times to put into words how much I adore this book. And they got Steven Spielberg, who's, you know, my hero, to do it. I mean, the movie's basically a love letter to Spielberg, for Christ's sake. And now Spielberg directing a love letter to him. And so far, the visuals we've seen, I mean, we've seen just a shitload of DeLorean. You know, we've seen all this cool stuff with the Iron Giant. We got some Tracer. So it looks like they're updating it from the novel. You know, the soundtrack, the songs we've gotten so far. We got Rush in the first one. We got Depeche Mode and Van Halen in the last trailer. It really looks like they're going out of their way. I mean, the movie, they've been in post-production for like 17 months. Steven Spielberg finished shooting Ready Player One, and whilst post-production was progressing, commissioned a writer to write, cast, shot, edited, and released the post. An entire film was made in this span of the post-production of this film, just because of how intense it's going to be post-production-wise. And it's coming around. It comes out my birthday weekend. It's my 40th birthday. I want everyone I know to go to the movies with me and see this movie, and then come to my house afterwards for Punch and Pie, where we discuss our favorite parts of this movie. I got a margarita machine for Christmas, for Christ's sake. I'll make some killer daiquiris, and we will just have a good time by my fire. Who's in?
Daiquiris. I'm in. I love it.
Yeah, we'll have some daiquiris. Yeah, I just can't wait, and I'm going into it with just no expectations. I know it's going to be drastically different because the book is unfilmable, just with all of the different license and stuff like that. So I know that it's not going to be a shot for shot based off of the book, and I'm fine with that. I'm just really looking forward to living in the world, and Spielberg is in this sweet spot right now to where he's making great films. Unfortunately, no one's watching, but he's making great films, and I hope this puts him back on the map, and it shows everyone that this guy made Jaws and E.T. and Jurassic Park and Schindler's List and Saving Private Ryan, and he's a treasure who should be prayed to every day as if he is a deity, for Christ's sake.
False God.
Not false God. Real God. So, yeah. So that's what I'm looking forward to 2018. Yeah. Well, what are you guys looking forward to in 2018? Why don't you hit us up at Geek Legacy and let us know what you're most looking forward to Geek Legacy, or maybe you can answer.
What? I was like, are you serious? We just told you. But why mail models?
I was thinking the same thing.
No, yes. Hit us up at Geek Legacy on Facebook and Twitter. And, yeah, let us know what you're most looking forward to. I mean, it's there's a lot of shit coming out next year that's going to be great. Or this year, sorry. And I want to hear what you have to say. But
Dunkirk
2 Electric Boogaloo. Do either of you have anything else you want to say about 2017 before we officially put it in the books?
I don't think so. What book? Like a who's who?
I got a book.
It's I pay $40 and I get one.
It's like the Never Ending Story. It's like about the Treyu.
You know what? Rod Faulkner of the Seventh Matrix, he goes to great lengths to read, or not read, but rather watch sci-fi short films. And he actually has a collection of the best. He has one for, it's like the 15 best science fiction and fantasy short films. And then he's got a book that you can actually sort of name your price for that actually is like over 100 sci-fi short films. So if you are in, if you are a super geek about science fiction, definitely check out the7thmatrix.com, and you will be blown away at some of the most amazing sci-fi shorts available. And it's just, it's amazing, and it's all like free. You just go on, it's direct links to like the YouTubes, and you can watch these incredible movies that you had no idea were ever made. And there's so much talent behind these, and you are doing yourself a disservice by not watching them if you are a true sci-fi fan. I just want to throw that out there.
No, no, that's great. Yeah, we don't touch a lot on like the web shorts and stuff like that, but it's, that's the way of the future, is Howard Hughes would have said, I guess.
Right.
Way the future.
Way the future. Way the future.
Yeah. What about you, Randy? Got anything else you want to say before we put this pig to bed?
Not a goddamn thing.
All right. Well, cool. Yeah, make sure you guys hit us up on social media with what you guys thought of 2017, what you liked, what you didn't like, what you thought of our lists, and especially what you're most looking forward to in 2018. We'd love to hear what your expectation levels are for some of these films. And, you know, make sure you go to geeklegacy.com for all of your geek news and reviews. And Justin and Stephen K. James, they do a little ditty called The Pixelated Podcast over on the Geek Legacy Network of Podcasts. And they're definitely worth checking out. There was something I wanted to tell you about your last show, but I forgot what it was. But it was high praise, I promise you. But like we mentioned, make sure to follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy, on Facebook, on Instagram, all that nonsense. And again, go to geeklegacy.com for all of your geek news and reviews. And I hope you guys have an amazing 2018.